God. is all I need.
Thank you.
We haven't sung this one in a little while. Number 154. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. God will tell a story.
It's good to be back with you. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Last time I was here, we finished up Joseph, or at least the part of the story that we know the best. And I want to start a study in the book of Proverbs. It could take a while to get through the whole way through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. I have some notes here that I'll be reading to you throughout. Proverbs is a book that deals with many things. It deals with the parent-child relationship, business matters, moral matters, emotional matters, general relationship matters. It's a very powerful book. It's written by predominantly by a man who's considered to be the wisest man ever, except the Lord Jesus Christ. It has many different quotable verses. Some can be taken out of context, and we'll touch on those as we go. There are some expressions that we use rather commonly that are found in the book of Proverbs. A soft answer turneth away wrath can be found in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 1. The expression a two-edged sword can be found in Proverbs chapter 5 verse 4. Pride goeth before a fall can be found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. But God used Solomon to write the book of Proverbs, not exclusively, but predominantly Solomon, to write a whole lot of wisdoms that can be used. And I know many people have just read through the Proverbs for a sort of refreshment, just for general wisdom. I may have mentioned this before. I think I have. My parents read the Proverbs chapter that corresponds with the date. So today is the 14th. They read Proverbs chapter 14 this morning. They'll read Proverbs 15 tomorrow. They've been doing that for the last 30-plus years. And it's something that I often forget to do, but try to do. It's a good habit to get into, for sure. I want to read the first 10 verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Then we'll try to go through it verse by verse. I'm not for sure that we'll get through all 10 verses in a timely manner, but we'll see how far we get today. Proverbs chapter 1, the first 10 verses. The Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, I want to go back through and read each verse and go through and try to draw some thoughts out from them, if I can, as I mentioned just a moment ago. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I mentioned a minute ago, predominantly, he's the one who wrote them. In chapter 31, which we think of as the chapter that deals with the virtuous woman, that's from King Lemuel. If you look at chapter 30, that's written by Agur, the son of Jacob. But pretty much otherwise, the other chapters are attributed to Solomon. There's some debate and discussion about the other chapters. Someone else can have that debate or discussion. I don't really care to get into it. It doesn't truly matter who wrote it, except for that it's inspired. It was given by God for us. And when he wants us to know who wrote it, he tells us. When he doesn't, like the book of Hebrews, people can fight and argue about that on their own time, but not mine, all right? So we're going to look at verse number 2 and go from there. to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, the book of Proverbs has several distinct purposes for us. But to understand the purposes, there is a distinction between three words: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is helpful, wisdom is crucial, and understanding is a great help. What do I mean? In 2018, we have unprecedented number of young people going to colleges. They are pouring tons of facts and details into their brains. Are they wise?
No.
The older folk at home, the country folk, would say they don't have horse sense. Do you understand what I mean by that? They don't have common sense. Do we understand that? They may have a lot of knowledge about certain things, but it isn't necessarily wisdom, and that doesn't mean they have understanding. Knowledge tells you that fire cooks food. Wisdom tells you it's best if that's in a stove or on a grill outside, right? Understanding would be how to make a stove or how to make a grill or how to prepare it in such a way that's enjoyable for others, to understand all the facts about the situation. A lot of people know things, but they can't apply it worth anything. A lot of my friends and peers are frustrated by younger generation. And I know I'm 36, but those of my generation and younger that think they know a lot but don't have a lick of wisdom or understanding about them. And that's what we see. There's a difference. A couple of comical examples. If you were to look carefully at the label on a men's dress shirt, you will probably see something like this: do not iron while wearing. Do you know why? Why do you think that's on there? Because some nitwit one day said, you know what? There's a wrinkle here. Let's fix that problem. And I'm in a hurry. In fact, one of them was actually a pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, tried to iron his shirt while he was wearing it, and it didn't go swimmingly for him. You go through the McDonald's drive-thru. You know what's coming. Oh, there's a sign. Hot beverages are served. Wait for it. Hot. Now, we have people that you know have college degrees that don't understand that. And sure enough, when they get scalded by a hot beverage, they're like, how can this be? There's a difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Are you with me so far? Does that make sense? Okay. So the book of Proverbs speaks highly of knowledge. And that doesn't mean just the empty knowledge or memorization of facts. It has to do with biblical things. But the wisdom goes a step further, and understanding goes a step further than that. So, as you read through the book of Proverbs, as we study it, keep in mind there is a distinction. You can't have understanding without knowledge and wisdom, but you have to go through the steps. A lot of people out there may have a lot of knowledge about things, but having a lick of wisdom to them, and I'm sure examples are coming to your mind. But we see that we're to perceive the words of understanding. What does it mean to perceive? Any guesses on that one? What's that? Take them in. To be aware of. Yes. There's a whole generation of people that don't perceive anything. Sit in a public place and watch how many people are completely unaware of what's going on. There are stories of people who have been in banks or public places that have been robbed and had no clue. There's a story of a football coach. It's a college football coach. He was eating at a restaurant one time, and some robbers came in, held the place up, stole, and got out of there. And the college coach and whoever he was talking to had no idea until the police arrived. Now, they were probably so focused on their conversation, but they did not perceive what was going on around them. We're to perceive, aren't we? We're not to go through this life with our blinders on, unaware of what's going on around us, unaware of the lost folk who are around us and what they're going through. We're to perceive the words of understanding. That is what the book of Proverbs is for. Look at verse number 3 for me. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Now, in the book of Proverbs, you'll find that there are several different kinds of proverbs. And I mean, sure, you can probably knock them down into quite a few categories, but in my simple mind, there are proverbs that state something. There are proverbs that state something and then add to it. Then there are proverbs that state something and show a contrast. All right? For example, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." There's a statement, it's added to it, and then you see the contrast. Instead of being wise in your own eyes, you're to depart from evil. So as we get into this, we're going to see some of those three main categories, or at least in my mind, three main categories of Proverbs and the instruction that comes. The instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Now, it's one thing to be taught to not do wrong. We have children. We have a dog. Each child has needed to be taught not to hit the dog. All right? What do kids do when they're around a dog? You know, they may smack it like crazy, thinking they're being cute. But the dog doesn't like that. You need to teach the child not to hit the dog. Also, it's another thing to add on to it and show how the dog likes to be petted or scratched, all right? Don't rub against his fur, things of that nature. Proverbs often builds on simple principles, and if you get the first step, then you can get onto the second step. If you don't get the first part, you're out of luck. Just like a math student, if they don't understand the principles of addition and subtraction, will not do well in multiplication and division, much less algebra, geometry, trigonometry, that sort of thing. We have to build on them, all right? So we see that these things are added on. We're to have a perception for these things. We're to have an understanding. We're to receive instruction of wisdom and justice. Now, the perception or being perceptive, when I was talking a minute ago, has to do with how aware you are. There are viral videos that are constantly coming out of people who are on their cell phones walking in a public place and fall into fountains at a shopping mall, or you know, step off the sidewalk and nearly get hit by a car, or things of that nature. They don't perceive. They're not paying attention. In fact, when GPSs first came out and that technology was still evolving and improving, there's a story of a couple who, instead of watching in front of them, followed the GPS right off up here into the water, because the GPS said go straight, and they went straight, and that was the end of that. We're to be perceptive, all right? We're to understand what we're perceiving and the wisdom that we receive. We need to make sure that we get it from the right source, all right? There are people that soak up instruction from all the wrong people. I've talked to and dealt with and witnessed to some people, and when I hear their ideas of God and His Word and how life should be lived, I'm thinking, where in the world did this come from? And after a while, they'll say, I was listening to so-and-so on the radio or watching so-and-so on the TV, and I thought, now I understand. Now I understand how you ended up out there. Okay? We need to make sure that we're getting our wisdom and instruction from the right place. But we see we're to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice. Justice. Now, Micah 6:8 is a very good passage you can study in regards to these things, and judgment as well. But also, the last thing we see in there is equity. We need to be fair. The Lord spoke very clearly about not being a respecter of persons. In Matthew chapter 23, when He spoke to the hypocrites, He dealt a great deal with those who tried to impress those of a higher or a richer class, more important class, instead of dealing with the poorer people. And our Savior certainly wasn't that way. One of the, there is a British TV show that we've introduced our kids to. It's called Keeping Up Appearances. And the line or the plot of the whole show is a woman whose entire purpose in life is to keep up appearances and to appear to be more wealthy and important than she is. and the calamities and things that she brings upon herself are downright hilarious. And if it weren't so truthful with some people, you know, you could thoroughly enjoy it. Sadly, a lot of people strive to be that way. They try to keep up appearances. The Bible tells us we're to receive instruction in regards to equity. We should, of all things, be fair. We should be fair. All right, the next verse. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, to give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety means to have delicacy or a nicety of character or meaning. Not too many people are subtle today. They're loud, they're brash, they're abrasive. Many people are proud of how loud or brash that they are. Well, I told him off. At least I'm honest. I heard that this week. Someone said, well, you're mean. And she turned around and she said, yeah, but at least I'm honest. And I thought, there's a whole lot more gentle way you could have put what you just said. But she was proud of not being subtle. Subtlety to the simple. I once worked with a woman who every day she was bragging about how she had told somebody off. And at first, you know, I thought, oh, this woman has a lot of rough people in her life. But the more I was around her, the more I felt sorry for the other people in her life and not her. She could have used some subtlety. Now, I imagine when she goes around people she knows, either her coworkers or family or neighbors, I doubt she has too many friends. I imagine, you know, they almost say, uh-oh, when she arrives. That's what this scripture is talking about, is to give subtlety to the simple. Now, Jesus wasn't a compromiser, and he didn't back up on principles, but he had a distinct, clear, and gentle way of dealing with folk. Now, there were times when he dealt with the hypocrites and the Pharisees that he was very firm, but it wasn't like he was being forceful just to be forceful to get his way with them, and we could learn from that. He had a gentleness to him. The second half of verse number 4 speaks of giving the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, knowledge is important in bringing up a young man or a young lady. It's important for them to know things. But discretion is invaluable for everyone. Being discreet, all right, also having an awareness. Some people aren't very discreet at all. I know of a particular lady, and she's very active on Facebook, and she likes and shares everything. And someone had, she had seen a post, and it says, like and share for this beautiful plant. She did it. She's a professing Christian. It was marijuana. And I sent her a message. I said, do you know what that plant is? She's like, no, it's beautiful, isn't it? Some people think it is. But she has no discretion whatsoever. All right, she thought, oh, that's, you know, pretty leaves. Yeah, the police are looking for those leaves too. No discretion. No discretion whatsoever. Whenever another young lady, young woman, I'm going to clarify that, was celebrating her 21st birthday, like most people celebrate their 21st birthday, you know, she was all excited for her. Happy 21st birthday. I said, do you know actually what she's doing? That's, you know, that's not soda she's drinking in there. All right? No discretion whatsoever. We're to have discretion. Discretion in a nutshell to me is knowing what to say and when, where to be and when, what to do and when, and with whom. When I was a young kid in high school, I was a basketball player, and I liked to go play basketball where there were pickup games, whether it be in a school gym or a park or things of that nature. And I heard that one of the parks in Hagerstown had the best pickup games. And so I went there one time to go play, and sure enough, the level of basketball was at a pretty substantial level, and thoroughly enjoyed playing. And I happened to mention it to our neighbor, who is a police officer for the city, and he just said very quietly, I don't think that's where you want to be seen. And I thought, okay, he knows better than I. And sure enough, I started paying attention more in the news and realized I had no business being at that park. Enough things go down there that I didn't need to be there for safety's sake and also to avoid the appearance of evil. I didn't have the discretion to figure that out as a 16, 17-year-old boy. But fortunately, someone was able to tell me gently, Mark, you have no business being there. Something that I could learn from. Verse number 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear, but will also increase in learning. Now, not only does the wise man have the capacity to learn, but he does it. You know, they said a smart man learns from his own mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. All right, have you ever done something and it ended up being a foolish decision and thought, you know, I'm not going to do that again? Have you ever seen someone who makes the same stupid mistake over and over and over again and you thought, when are they ever going to learn? A wise man can step back and learn from the mistakes of others. A man in our church is a golfer, and occasionally will ask me to go out and golf with him. And he asked me to go to a tournament one time, and we were on a green, and his ball was right behind mine. And so I went to putt. He's also left-handed, and you couldn't tell the way the green was sloped, but it actually sloped to one side. And so after I putted and the ball went off to the left, and you couldn't tell it was going to happen, I turned around and said to him, hey, that ball's going to go to the left. You better aim towards the right. And as I went to walk away, I looked back, and he putted the exact same way that I did, and sure enough, guess where his ball went? It went right to the left. And I said, did you not hear me? He said, no, I just thought maybe you were wrong. Okay, it's a pretty simple thing, right? It's a putt on a golf course. Nobody cares. But how many times have you seen people who have watched others make foolish mistakes and they go and do the exact same thing? They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? We need to take great care that we are wise and we learn not only from our own mistakes, but from the mistakes of others. We should be thankful in a way that we can learn from the mistakes of others. We don't have to make the same mistakes other people do. And hopefully they can learn from ours. We see that he's a man of understanding that shall attain unto wise counsels. Where you get your advice can have a great deal of impact on you. Spiritually speaking, if you read through the history of the Israeli people, the Jewish people, and see how the king sought counsel. And sometimes the older men would try to counsel a young king and say, for example, descendant of David, don't tax them the same way. Younger counsel said, hey, make it worse. How did that go? Didn't go swimmingly, did it, all right? We need to attain or listen to wise counsel. There are different people in my life that have wisdom in particular aspects, all right? If it has to do with driving directions or routes, I'm going to call Jason. Hey, what's the construction look like here? What's the best way to get from here to there? I'm not going to call my dad. Now, my dad has wisdom in a lot of aspects, but he's been legally blind for a long time. He doesn't know what the routes are like. I try to find the wisest counsel regarding what my question is. We need to make sure that we attain unto wise counsel. Look at verse number 6. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. When the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, understand that the proverbs are trying to instill a work ethic into the lazy man. All right, we need to have the wisdom and to understand what the proverb is trying to say. When it says go to the ant, that does not literally mean go hang out at an anthill. Though if that's what it takes for you to figure out the work ethic of an ant, by all means, make sure it's not a fire anthill, okay? In that case, you have other issues to deal with. But we need to understand what the proverb means. If we don't understand, step back, try to read it again, understand it. All right? The next thing that we see, the interpretation, the application. The Bible talks about the sluggard being like a door on its hinges. All right? Rolling back and forth in the bed. Doesn't want to get out of the bed. We should understand the application. Instead of a person, when they wake up for the day, saying, all right, let's get on with it. Let's get on to what I have to do. The sluggard, he just likes to stay in there and roll back and forth. All right? We need to understand the interpretation. The next thing, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, I don't think that the dark sayings has to do with something that is mystical or something that is inappropriate. Oftentimes, the word dark is used to illustrate that. I think dark here has to do with things that aren't naturally perceived or easily understood, okay? Sometimes you have to work at it. If you pay attention, Jesus sometimes spoke in ways where those that were listening in didn't understand, but the disciples should have. As parents, we have ways of talking so that the kids don't understand, all right? Sometimes we flat out cheat and go straight to Spanish, okay? If we're trying to get something across where we're trying to share something, we don't want the kids to understand. Kids have the ability to let secrets out that they shouldn't, okay? But there are some times where things aren't naturally or easily understood. Proverbs is full of those things that we need to work at and ask the Lord to show a light on what the scriptures say so that we can properly understand them. All right? If you were to take the natural man out on the sidewalk and say, read through the book of Proverbs, they may garner or glean some information from the book of Proverbs, but the depth of the book of Proverbs is something my parents haven't been able to fully master, having read through the book of Proverbs over 350 times. And so what I'm saying is, as you read through the book, there are dark sayings in there, not mystical or intentionally kept where we cannot understand them, but they're not easy and we need the Holy Spirit to help us. We need to understand those dark sayings. Look at verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I won't get past this verse because there's much to say here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to, how many of you can remember when prayers and scripture reading started to get kicked out of the public schools? All right? How would you say our educational system is in comparison today? Down. Okay? I don't know, I would like to know, but I don't know how much money was spent on average per student about when that happened. And then if you could extrapolate it or put it in today's financial figures. But I would venture to say without any hesitation that the average amount of money spent on a student back in that decade was far less than the amount of money spent on students today. I live in a small town, 5,000 people, Greencastle, right on the state line. We spend about $13,000 a year per student in the public school system. I'm getting bombarded with texts from political candidates who are telling me that we need more resources for our kids in schools. And I want to ask them, but I haven't figured out a way to be subtle. Just how much money do you want to spend on the students? If 13 grand isn't enough, how much is? I can send my kids to a Christian school for about a third of that, and the average test scores will be far higher than the public school system. Okay? I can educate, or Rachel predominantly, can educate them for less than 7% of that at home, and the average test scores of the homeschoolers from our church using the curriculum that we've used, or even the curriculum that you guys used, are going to be far higher than the highest kids at Greencastle. When I came through our system, and all of our kids in the church came through the homeschool system, that we had at the church, every single child that finished the curriculum and took the SATs ended up with a higher score than the highest at Greencastle. And in fact, people that were graduating from Greencastle thought we were lying when we told them the scores. Now, is that just bragging about homeschooling? No. Look at the verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Guess what is taught in the Christian schools or homeschool? The fear of the Lord. Guess what's not being taught in your public school systems? The fear of the Lord. My dad went to school, rural Ohio. Students could go hunting in the morning, take their vehicle with their firearm in their truck to the school. Guess what? Never happened. Guess what happens now? Why? There's no fear of the Lord. Having worked in a school designed to help juvenile delinquent boys learn, I will tell you that if they do not want to learn, you cannot teach them. If they do not have the fear of the Lord, you cannot help them. If someone does not want to be helped, you cannot help them. Like a pig trying to get back to the wallow in the mire, they'll head right back there. How many times in stories are we hearing of people that have been caught with various drugs or addictions, have gone through all sorts of rehabs, imprisonments, and so on, and as soon as they're out, guess where they go? Right back into it. It's incredibly sad. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you get that started, you have a chance to help people. Look at the second half of the verse. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. How many kids hate school? They use that word. I don't expect my children to love school. Okay? I worry when I ask my Sunday school kids, you know, how's school going? Oh, I love it. I'm like, you're lying to me. Okay? I know better. All right? Why don't you tell me the truth next time? You don't have to love it. All right? It would be helpful if you love school. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. As a result, don't we see that? They're constantly getting in trouble. They hate to be instructed. There was a story several years ago of a woman who went to Arlington National Cemetery, and there's signs in there, please be respectful and quiet. And what she did was she flipped the bird, if I can use that expression, to the camera and made a face like she was screaming right beside the picture in Arlington National Cemetery. She was actually there with a school group, and she ended up getting fired. But why did she do that? The mere instruction of be quiet and respectful made her want to do the opposite. That's how people are. You tell them, here's how you need to behave, here's how you need to act. What does our natural man say? I'll show you. I'll do something the opposite. The fear of the Lord. If you don't develop a fear of the Lord, that's why we have the problems that we do. Why do we have the problems in the school systems? We don't have the fear of the Lord. And the more you alienate it, the more you take that away from the educational system, the worse things are going to get. It's not going to get better. It can't get better until you go back to the biblical concept of the fear of the Lord. When you get that instilled, then the results are unbelievable. My dad grew up in a small rural town in Ohio, and they didn't have near the resources that most of our Christian schools do, much less public schools in regards to technology and chem labs and so on. And when I went back to Ohio to spend a couple of days with him, he was going back for a funeral of his math teacher. He was introducing me to his classmates and the things that his classmates were able to accomplish in life coming from a poor public school system, albeit 55, 60 years ago, are unbelievable. But it shouldn't be, because back then they had Bible reading, they had the pledge, they had prayer, they had messages. They didn't have chapel, so to speak, but they had biblical principles that were instilled even in their assemblies. And when that starts to disappear, things change. My siblings in Brazil, they're asked to teach English, and the headmasters and the superintendents are thrilled when my siblings teach Bible, because they notice the behavior in their children starts to improve. We're talking public and private schools in Brazil. They have freedoms to do things in the largest Roman Catholic country in the world that we don't hear. And they're surprised all of a sudden their children in their classes start behaving better. Shouldn't surprise us. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're going to find that they fools despise that instruction. They can't stand it. Sure enough, they run from it as hard as they can. All right, I'm sure I'm a minute or two late maybe, but I'll go ahead and pray, and we'll have service starting here in about 16, 17 minutes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the wisdom we can find in Proverbs. Help us to work at it. Lord, help us to study it. Help us to appreciate it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.